الحمد لله رب العالمين، حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان، ومن يتبع خطوات الشيطان فإنه يأمر بالفحشاء فإنه يأمركم بالفحشاء والمنكر. صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله، all praises are for Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been kind, Allah has been merciful to us, and Allah continues to be kind and merciful. Every single day we live on the face of the earth, you and I as Muslims, you and I as human beings, continue to enjoy so many favors from Allah. Favors that other people cannot even dream about. People have never seen and witnessed in their entire lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, and He gives more and more. And He gives us so many different beautiful situations and conditions that we enjoy. But for other people, they might not be so lucky or fortunate. So it is required. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Holy Quran that it is required, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the ahadith that it is required that those who have, they thank Allah, and those who do not have, that they are patient and forbearing. That those who have, they thank Allah for what He has given to them, and they understand that they have certain duties to fulfill, as it is connected and they are connected to the other servants of Allah. And as for those who do not have and those who are not fortunate, then it is required for them to have sabr and for them to be patient and forbearing. And this is why the fuqaha and the scholars have stated that each situation is a test for every human being. Every situation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts every individual in a situation to see how the individual will react. If Allah has given wealth, Allah puts a person in the situation to see how he reacts. If Allah has given status to a person, Allah wants to see how that person will react also. If on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places sickness upon a person, Allah wants to see how that person will react. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strikes poverty upon a person, Allah also wants to see how that person reacts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the divider of every single thing. And everything that you and I have in our lives, they are all gifted to us, and they have been given to us by Allah. Our eyes, our ability to speak, our ability to move, our intelligence, every single thing, all these have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah mentions again and again in the Holy Quran that He wants to see. In some verses He says that لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, so that you will be grateful. Every situation that comes upon an individual, there is a haq upon him to respond in a certain way. Every situation that comes upon an individual, there is a haq over him to respond in a certain way. And Allah waits and looks at the response of the individual with respect to the situation that has come to him, with respect to the affair that he is in, and with respect to that condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in. So whatever our situations might be, my dear respected brothers and my dear sisters, and every day it changes. Every day our situation changes. Yesterday probably would have been happy, we would have been able to put a smile on our faces, but today we are sad. Then tomorrow the situation changes, and we are not happy and we are not sad, but we are worried. The situation changes. The question is, who are we going to call on? How do we behave in that given situation? Sometimes there is a form of ingratitude that emanates from the heart and not the tongue. Sometimes there is a feeling of depression on account of the minimum amount of iman and faith. Sometimes there is a complaint from the heart to Allah, although the mouth acknowledges that this thing is from Allah, but the heart is complaining, oh Allah, why are you doing this to me? Na'uzubillah.
This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah does not look at your faces and your clothing, He looks to your heart, because the truth comes from the heart. Sincerity emanates from the heart. Every single thing that we may hide on the external, it is visible in the internal, and Allah looks clearly at that. Allah reads our heart like how you and I will read a book. Allah reads our thought. Allah reads our motives and our objectives that we have for doing things. Even though the tongue may say otherwise. Even though the tongue may say, oh Allah, I thank you, but the heart is full of ingratitude and the heart continues to complain, and the person feels like that inside, that is how Allah is going to treat that person. That's the way Allah will turn to that person. So therefore, every single one of us, this is why the Holy Quran, the beautiful commentary of that eye of the Holy Quran, كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَانٍ فَبِأَيِّ آلَيْ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِبًا. Every single day, Allah is in a different state. Meaning something different Allah is doing for the ibad and the servants. Today He is curing the sickness. Tomorrow He is granting the happiness. The other day He is creating children. The other day He is taking lives. Subhanallah. Kulla yawmin huwa fi shan. Every single day there is something else Allah is doing. And every single day, everything that we have in our lives that are connected to goodness, they are given to us by Allah. Today we have passed our exams, we want a job, tomorrow we get a job, the next day we want a house, Allah gives us, the next day we want a car, Allah gives us, the next day we want marriage, Allah gives us, the next day we want children, Allah gives us, the next day we want grandchildren, Allah gives us. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Then O human beings and jinnat, which favors are you going to deny? You see it with your eyes, you feel it, you enjoy it, you are happy. But why is it you cannot really recognize it from the depths of the heart? So whatever situation we are in, and obviously as human beings, as Muslims, we continue to pass through different states and conditions. And this is a part of our lives on the face of the earth. Some days that we may experience goodness, and some days we may not experience goodness, but that does not mean that the not experiencing of goodness is bad for us. Allah knows what is good for us and Allah knows what is bad for us. And the reason that Allah gives us a little trial is sometimes to put us back on track. Because if a man gets too much, then it can make him negligent. It can make him hard-hearted. It can make him disobedient. This is why the Holy Quran, Allah mentions in one ayat, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah says, when the people in the past, they forgot every single reminder that came to them. When the people in the past forgot every single reminder that came to them from Allah. One prophet is bringing a message, and another prophet is bringing a message, and another religious man is bringing a message, and another deputy of the prophet is bringing a message, one after the other. They got reminders one after the other. Allah says when they forgot about that, they forgot all those reminders, they forgot all the warnings, they forgot about all the guidelines and the guidance that they have been given. They knew exactly what was wrong, but they continued to do the wrong. They knew what was haram, but they continued to do the haram. So they learned everything, they got everything, they witnessed revelations, they witnessed miracles, and they witnessed so many things. Allah says, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ, when they forgot about all these things. فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Then we opened the doors of every goodness for them. Subhanallah. They become richer and wealthier. They became more prosperous. They became more happy in life. They became more comfortable in life. In fact, they came to such a state that there was not a single worry and concern in their minds. Every single thing for them was totally perfect. Subhanallah. No worry, no trouble, nothing. Allah says, so they became unmindful and we gave them more. Now, if we really look at what happened in the past nations and in the teachings of the Holy Quran, if we look at it, we will immediately recognize that when people started to disobey Allah, Allah brought about a punishment to these people. when people went against the prophets, the punishment of Allah came to them. They disobeyed, they were rude and insolent. They killed certain prophets. Allah visited them with azab, with punishment. But here it is not so. Subhanallah, Allah says, when they started to forget everything, then we give them more. That was the trial for them, subhanallah. That was the test. The test was that would they look at what is being gifted to them and given to them as a means to turn their ways and to make amends. For a man, because sometimes Allah alone knows how every individual behaves to whatever he sends. Sometimes an individual is doing something wrong, and he starts to see his way in life, as we say. Things start to happen good. For him, he may take a lesson from that. And he will say, you know what? I mean, I continue to disobey Allah, and still Allah is giving me so much. You know what? Let me try to change my ways. Because Allah is so kind to me. How can I not be grateful to Allah? How can I not perform my salah 5 times a day? How can I not be a true and sincere Muslim? Because I am doing something wrong, yet Allah continues to help me. You know what? No, I've been bad, so I have to straighten myself. So getting extra makes him change himself. And sometimes certain people, that getting more makes their hearts harder. Because, as the Holy Quran mentions about some people, they use these things to show and to prove they are not really doing anything wrong. Because had they been doing anything wrong, they would have been punished. So they say, look, I'm doing so many wrong things, I'm still getting more. So it shows that what I'm doing is not wrong. Probably it's good. So it takes them further away from Allah. For such people, a lesson is when they get a punishment. So rather than giving more to some people and giving better situations, Allah pulls away goodness from them. Because Allah knows this is what is good for them. This is what will put them on the right track. This is what's going to teach them a lesson. This is what's going to cause them to take a turn in their lives, to remember the wrongs they have done and to try to better themselves. Allah knows our hearts, and He knows the way we think, and He knows every single thing that we do, and He knows what is good for each and every person. So whatever Allah does, it is actually a kindness from Allah to His servants. The kindness to remind him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَتَحْنَا أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, that we opened the doors of every single thing. But even in this state, people did not take a lesson. And people, as I said a while ago, people took these things to actually go deeper and deeper in sins and transgression. So Allah looked at them and their attitude. And when they were deeply involved in all their pleasures and fantasies of life and their deep enjoyment, Allah says, we seized them automatically and grabbed them immediately, and they were dead. There was no chance of turning back. There was no chance of turning back. There was no chance for a single one of them to believe in Allah or to repent to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at His servants, and He sees that for some people, He can give them a chance by giving them some time and giving respite. So He sends a situation upon a servant. So the servant begins to think about the situation he is in. And he recognizes that something is not going right with me. Something is not going straight with me. Things are not working out well. I'm bothered. My conscience is bothering me. So with respect to that, he easily begins to make a change, and he ends up on the right path, and he makes a good change and turn towards Allah. And there are some people that Allah deprives them and Allah forsakes them. Allah forsakes them and He leaves them on their own, and He's not concerned about them, and He's not worried about them. And there are some people who are like that. For example, there are many traditions in which the Prophet ﷺ has stated that there are 3 categories of people. that on the day of judgment, Allah will not even turn to them, Allah will not even look to them, and Allah will not even speak to them. Allah will not show any mercy to them. Allah will leave them cast aside, forsaken. And there is another hadith also which speaks about such an action coming from Allah to people while they are still on the face of the earth. And the authentic tradition states that whomsoever upon Hajj has become compulsory, then Allah has no concern for this person and he did not perform Hajj. That if there is anyone that Hajj became compulsory upon that person and that person did not perform Hajj, Allah is not bothered about that person. Allah is not concerned about the person. He can die as a Jew. He can die as a Christian. Allah has no concern for him. No rahmah, no mercy, no compassion. Not even the thought that let me give my servant a little tawfiq and divine guidance to come back on the straight path. Let me give my servant a little lesson that he will mend his ways. Let me give my servant something that he can think about, that he will straighten out himself. Some people, Allah says, he has no concern for them. Die if you want as a Yahud. Allah says, I'm not bothered with you. Die if you want as a Nasara. Die as an unbeliever. Die as a mushrik. Allah has no concern for you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that. So it goes to show that Allah behaves like that towards people, even his servants, because upon whom Hajj will become compulsory. Not non-Muslims, will be Muslims. And if this fardiyat and faridha of Allah, this duty of Allah, comes upon a person and he does not do that which is right, then Allah shows no concern for him. So therefore, every single thing that you and I get in our lives, we should take it and accept it. Accept it open-heartedly. Accept it that it is from Allah. And if we look at it in this way, then we will never ever find a reason to complain. Because when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua to Allah as to what type of person that he wants Allah to make him, he said, "Oh Allah, make me a grateful servant. Make my heart a heart that is filled with gratitude, that I find no reason to complain." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his life was like that. If he is starved, he thanks Allah. If he's struck with poverty, he thanks Allah. Months will pass and fire will not be lit in the blessed home of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aisha says days and nights will pass, and the only thing the family of Muhammad had was aswadain, the two black things. The water was looking black and black dates. That's all we had to live on. Nothing. But here there was not a single word of complaint to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the people in Makkah turned against him, when they persecuted him, when they threw garbage on his face, when they placed stones on his path, when they took up every stone to stone him and pelt him, and he fell unconscious, he never complained to Allah. What he was saying to Allah, "Oh Allah, forgive me because I am weak and probably I'm not strong enough to carry out the mission that you have chosen for me to do." He accepted everything with grace. He accepted everything with a smiling face. His daughter is crying. Abu Bakr is weeping. Everybody is weeping. And he smiles. He says, "Don't worry. Don't worry about anything." He comes clothed with blood. His daughter looks at him and she's weeping. "My father, what is happening to you? Why is this happening to you? Stop this. Why is this happening to you?" He says, "Oh, my daughter, have hopes in Allah. Subhanallah. It doesn't end here. It goes on for generation. If today these people do not accept my message, inshallah, one day they will accept my message." He is in the battlefield. 313 people he has with him, sahabas, against a big, huge army in front of him. On his side, no weapons, no transportation, no horses, hardly anything. On that side, fully equipped. He makes the line and he goes in a small tent at Badr and he's weeping. Not that he's complaining to Allah and he's sorry that he's putting these Muslims through an ordeal. facing an army, he's crying to Allah to beg Allah to help him. And Abu Bakr is in and out, and Ali is in and out of the tent. Ali says, I went out, I fought, I came back. I saw the Rasul in Sajda and he's weeping. I went out, I came back, same state. I went out and I came back. And eventually Allah revealed the law, the ayah, سَيُهْزَمُ الْجَمْعُ وَيُوَلُّونَ الدُّبُرُ. He says that very soon that this big army that you have, they will run back on their heels. And Allah will grant you victory. And he lifted his head with tears over his face, on the bed, on the chest, saying, to Abu Bakr, oh Abu Bakr, Allah has promised us victory today. But no complaint. He loses his clear and his dear ones, his close ones in the battle of Uhud. Still he does not complain. In fact, Allah reveals in the Holy Quran that these who were martyred, they got what they were praying for. Subhanallah. They were praying to be martyred. Subhanallah. They were praying to die in the path of Allah. Allah blessed them with martyrdom. Allah blessed them with martyrdom. So too, my dear respected brothers and my dear sisters. Many of us, we continue to make dua. And with Ramadan just coming to a completion, we have made a lot of du'as. We have made du'as, oh Allah, purify us from our sins. Oh Allah, forgive us, cleanse us. Allah alone knows that the manner of purifying us is to send something over us. And that will be a little punishment for us, and Allah will purify us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about sicknesses. It washes away your sins. Fever comes in. He says, don't curse fever. Allah uses it to wash you away from your sins. Subhanallah. So sometimes we do not know the hikmah and the wisdom in anything coming to us. A situation coming in front of us, it is to test our patience. Subhanallah. There is a tradition. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that sometimes Allah wants to raise the status of a servant. Allah loves him very much. But the man doesn't have a lot of good deeds. The man does not have a lot of fasting or nawafil. He doesn't have a lot of these things. But Allah wants to raise his status because Allah loves him. So how does Allah love that person? Allah sends a little trial to him. And he's, you know, it is really taking a toll on him. And in that trial and suffering, he's having sabr every day and night, and he's having patience. And Allah uses that patience to raise his status so he becomes beloved to Allah. And Allah honors him as a beloved servant, as al-mahbub, because of the sabr and his patience. Subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hilm, forbearance, it is such a quality that it is almost that a halim and forbearing person, he reaches the status of a nabi in the sight of Allah. Because forbearance is not an easy thing. If we really look, you know, it's very easy for many of us to come and speak about sabr and forbearance, isn't that so? It's very easy, any one of us, speaking to anybody else, to say you must be patient. But when the individual is struck with that, and there is debt, and there is poverty, and there is starvation, and there is the burning down of a whole house, and everybody is saying, be patient. We say, well, if you were in that, you would have known. When a man has to do it himself, then we know the reality, and then we understand also why it is so rewarding. Why it is so rewarding. Now we hear about the fadilat and the virtue of Hajj. We know how many times we have heard already. How many times we have heard that when a person goes for Hajj and he comes back and the Hajj is accepted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings him back to his home sinless as a newborn baby. We know that. And each and everyone goes for the Hajj hoping to get that blessing to come back. But to get that blessing, it's not easy. It's not an easy thing to get that blessing. In order to get that blessing, a person must go through all the mujahada. All the mujahada there is. You go through and someone is making tawaf and hunches you. As a human being, you look at the person and you are vexed and you want to do it. Somebody is doing something wrong, you have to complain. Somebody does something wrong, you want to raise your mouth. People in the group are quarreling, you want to join the quarrel. Somebody is ill-speaking the leader, you want to ill-speak also. And a person finds himself caught in many different things. And because of these wrongs, and these sins that are committed by the individual. He may have performed the Hajj, but that blessing of coming back sinless he may not get. Because in order to get that, you have to go through that mujahada. You have to go through that mujahada. Probably sleeping in the open area in Muzdalifah. Probably not getting food on time. Probably not getting transport on time. Probably walking for the whole night from one place to the other place. Probably not getting this, not getting that. Not catching this, not catching. And here is where forbearance is needed. You have to calm yourself. Calm yourself. No quarrel, Allah says. No arguments. No dispute in Hajj. That's when you go through the mujahada and you go through the sacrifice and you go through what it takes to be cool and calm and forbearing. Allah says, I will honor you with that gift because you have done well. You were silent. You were quiet. You were sabir. You were halim. You were forbearing. So we have to understand, my dear respected brothers and my dear sisters, as we have started, Allah sends different situations upon us to see how we act. Some of us are higher than others. What is the maqsad? Is it to bring off on others, to boast on others, to become arrogant and proud? No, to thank Allah and to help other people. If Allah did not bless us with those things, what does it mean? We become jealous and envious? And every day we are saying, look at him and look at she and look at he. And is this the reason? No. For us to be forbearing. Forbearing and turn to Allah. And if there are any needs we have, we ask it only from who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah looks at our every action. Every one of our actions. Because the sender of all our states and conditions, it's only one person, that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're not going to tell Allah what he already knows. No, he already knows that. We simply have to forbear and thank him for the good things and turn to him, that's all. And with Ramadan having just completed, we need to understand that what we have worked for, understand these things so that we do not go back our ways that we had before Ramadan. Whatever we have worked for in Ramadan, let us not become foolish people to throw it down the drain and waste it away. Let's become intelligent and keep the good that Allah has given to us so that inshallah this good will be with us and accompany with us until the what? The next Ramadan. And at that time inshallah, Allah will help us to witness that and see that again so that we can actually refresh our iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the courage. May Allah give us the ability to sacrifice for his deen so that if we go over a few minutes, we will understand that we have come here not to discuss politics. We have come here to discuss deen. Deen is our life and our salvation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. Wa la akhir da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.